So we're going to carry on looking at the letters that Jesus wrote to the churches. So Jesus died and rose again, and then after 40 days he ascended to heaven. And he's not up there doing nothing. He's looking at us and looking at the churches and helping us and working with us. So to the angel of the church in Sardis write, this is a town in what is now called Turkey. These things, says he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works. Now, each of these little phrases, we've got to stop and think about. I know your works. Now, Jesus is looking at each of us and saying, I know your works. I know what you are doing. And that's maybe worrying if we're naughty. And it's also encouraging if we think that no one appreciates us, that nobody noticed that I didn't respond when that person provoked me. No one noticed. Okay, but I know your works. And I know that you have a name that you live, but you're dead. So they appear to be really good Christians, but actually in the eyes of Jesus, they were dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, which are about to die. For I have not found your works correct before my God. Now notice that Jesus calls God my God. And so Jesus is not God himself. Remember on the cross he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So clearly Jesus wasn't God himself. And he says, be careful, you need to repent, because I've looked at your works, I know your works, and I've not really found them correct before my God. Remember, therefore, how you've received and how you heard, and keep it and repent. If therefore you will not watch, I will come on you as a thief, and you won't know what hour I will come upon you. So then, when Jesus comes back, for those who aren't prepared, it'll be like a thief has come, a thief in the night, where you wake up in the morning and think, uh-oh, there's a window open, there's a door open, and my Spider-Man, my Barbie dolls, my computer have gone. They have been stolen. And so that is how people are going to feel who aren't prepared and who aren't watching when Jesus comes back. But you have a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their clothes, that have not made their clothes dirty. So when we're baptized, we're given white clothes, we're washed, but we sin, so we keep making it dirty, but then we've got to keep on repenting and asking God to make them clean again. And he says, you've got a few names, even in Sardis, who have got white clothes. So then Jesus doesn't tell those people, those good Christians, to leave the bad Christians. These people who were doing works that appeared to be good that were actually evil and who were not watching for Jesus to come back. But Jesus says, you have a few names, even in... Well, yeah, not watching for Jesus to come back and doing evil is pretty bad. So you have a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, their clothes, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcomes shall be clothed in white clothing, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So then, there is a book of life. As it were, there's a book or a scroll. They didn't have books like we have them. But a scroll with everyone's names written in it, who is going to be in the kingdom, who's going to live forever. But your name can be blotted out. You can lose your salvation. And this is how serious life is. This is why people might think, oh, those people are too serious, those Christians. Well, we do have joy, but we could not be dealing with things more serious. Everlasting life and the possibility of having your name taken out of the book, blotted out like with a rubber. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and nobody shall shut, and he who shuts and nobody can open. In other words, Jesus can give you an open heart, and he can open the kingdom to you, and he can also shut the door. You remember In the parable of the wise and foolish girls, the foolish girls who didn't have any oil, they came and banged on the door and said, "Open, open to us." It was shut, the door, and Jesus said, "I don't know who you are." So only he can do that. We can't do that to people. "I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which nobody can shut. You have a little strength. You did keep my word and did not deny my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, the adversary, the enemy, of those who say they are Jews and are not, but do lie, behold, I will make them to come and bow down before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you did keep the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, which is to come upon the whole world, to test them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly or suddenly. Hold fast what you have, that no man take your crown." Now that's a great verse. My mum used to quote that to me many times. "Let no man take your crown." Now, so often it is that people believe the gospel and they're walking towards the kingdom, but then they get upset by somebody. That he did that to me, she did that to me. And they get so bitter and twisted about it that they lose their faith. And so Jesus says, "Let no man take your crown." And my mummy used to say that to me many times, and I remember that. "Let no man take your crown. He that overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God." Now again, Jesus talking about my God. Jesus is not God himself. "I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out any more. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." Now, many times does Jesus talk about God as my God? Jesus is not God himself. Don't forget, this is even after Jesus rose from the dead. So it's no good people saying that, he wasn't God while he was on earth, but then afterwards he became God. No, this is after he's risen from the dead. "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot." So because you are lukewarm, tepid, in other words, you're not cold and you're not hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. So Jesus wants us to be totally for him. He says, "I know that you're indifferent." It's not that they said, "We don't believe in you anymore. We're atheists. There's no God." No, they didn't say that. They weren't cold, but they weren't hot. And Jesus hates that. He says, "Be or hot, decide." And that's a wonderful thing, that in our walk before God, there's only two possible options: eternal life in the kingdom or eternal death. There's only two ways, the way to life and the way to death. There is no third way. And so the fact there's no third way, there's no in-between, it means that you've got to choose with all your heart. If we decide that there is a God, I'm not going to be cold. I'm not going to turn around and say, "There is no God." Right, well, if we're not going to be cold, well, be completely hot then. And this is where true Christianity is not a hobby. It is our whole life, every part of our life, our thinking, our heart, and what we do with our money and our time. Because you say, "I am rich and need nothing," and you don't know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and naked, "I therefore advise you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white clothes, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness isn't made apparent. And anoint your eyes with eye salve," that's with eye drops, "so that you can see." So they thought that they were okay because they were rich, and this is a great warning to people like us who live in a society, in a world, which thinks so much about wealth and having gold. He's saying, look, you actually are poor. You people are very, very poor. the people who think that they've got lots of gold and they've got lots of wealth, therefore they're cool, therefore they are great because they've got a house, nice cars, a boat, a holiday house, they go on expensive holidays, and they think that therefore they are okay. Well, Jesus said, I feel sorry for you because you're so poor and miserable. Now you see how God looks at life is totally different to how people look at life, eh? As many as I love, I reprove and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So Jesus is saying to these people, who don't sound very nice people, these wealthy people, I love you. Even them he loves and wants them to repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I'll eat with him, and he with me. He that overcomes, I will give to him to sit down with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, we have got an ear to hear. We sense that this is right. And so he's saying, look, if you are not cold, if you believe, then listen to what I'm saying and give your whole heart and soul and mind to this. And you can do that even when you're young.